Today I want to talk to you about a five-letter word. Most of us, when we hear five-letter word, probably the first one we go to is faith. There's no question, faith is foundational to our walk in God and in our life. The word says, the just shall walk by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the very sheepfold name that we follow, right? They call it the Word of Faith Camp. And no doubt about it, no pun intended, faith is important. But I want to really target just part of this topic of faith. I want to heavily focus on just one piece of it. Faith has two components, right? They are believing and speaking. Yes, we believe in our heart and we speak with our mouth. We preach a lot about the speaking part. It's important. It's important that your confession is right. It's important that your words are right. It's important that what you say agrees with the Word of God. And it's really telling if you are in faith by what's coming out of your mouth. But we're not going to talk about that part today. Today, we're going to talk about believing. According to Webster 1828, that's the dictionary that I typically go to, because when that dictionary was written, they were still talking about biblical words, and they weren't using where we use words for all sorts of strange things nowadays. I feel like every week my daughter comes home and tells me something new, that a word that I thought I knew what it meant doesn't mean that anymore. It now means something else. And so, you know, it's really bad sometimes means it's actually really good. So you just got to kind of try to stay up with the times. But this word never changes. The word believing says to expect or hope with confidence, to trust. That's the five-letter word I want to talk to you about today. Trust. Believing is to trust. Faith is not an exchange for trust. They are not one and the same. Trust is a part that can lead you to faith. Trust is obtained by an exchanging of truths. Now, there's a level of trust that can come by status, position, title, what someone's referred to. We see that happening all the time right now, right? So if someone has the name doctor, or if they're part of the media, or if they have a government title, or those kind of things, when they're given a title, I even have trouble saying this right now, but some people associate a level of trust with that title, right? There is, there's an entire generation, there's an entire people who, if the doctor said it, we're going to do it, and that's just the way it's going to be, and I don't care how much sense you're making. If the doctor said it, that's how it's going to be, and well, that's what we're going to do. There's an entire group of people that says, well, they said it on the news, it must be true. Glory to God. However, what happens when they try to push it past just that? When there's deeper levels in your life, finances, your children, your homes, their well-being, you have to get to a point where you review what someone has done, how they've done things. Look at their track record. Start researching them. Start finding out about them. Start finding out the truth about them. Yes? And as you do that, you get into a deeper level of trust. To trust on a title alone, this is a weak level of trust. It's impersonal and it can only go so far. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but me and several other people that I know go to a holistic wellness doctor. Well, I had heard about her and I knew that, gotta do the Kylie thing here. The glory must be coming. Thank you, Jesus. So when I first heard about her, I thought, okay, I really want to take one of my children to her. However, I better go try her out for myself so that I can personally know what she's doing before I take my baby. Because there is a level of trust that has to come by personal relationship. And while I hear about someone, I can test, right? I can test on my own when I get there, oh, this isn't for me, and leave. But if I'm taking my child there, then I need to know that not only is it right for me, but it's right for them. And so you have to build a relationship with that person in order to go to that place. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Everyone knows this scripture, right? We're actually going to get into some scripture in a little bit, I promise. So this is the complete opposite of our fleshly nature. It says with all of our heart. Well, humans tend to, when they get hurt or they get what they feel is lied to, or things don't turn out even maybe just the way they think they should, they shut down that area of their heart. And they say, nope, you can't come here. This place is closed off for me and me alone. Well, it says trust with all your heart. So that right there, little hiccup. But he wants to mend it, heal it. He wants to bring those things to him and exchange what happened to you with truth for your life. That's how you begin establishing trust. You take the truth of what you feel like is a truth. So, you know, I was born with this truth, and say, nope, that's not what the word says. Or, I felt rejected by this, but the Father says, no, I'm accepted in the beloved. So I'm going to take the truth that I once held as my own, and I'm going to put that aside, and I'm going to accept his truth. So when I see that sign of rejection come again, I'm going to say, nope, I already learned that. I already figured that out. I already know what the truth about that is. I'm accepted in the beloved. And there will get to a point where you start exchanging that truth where it's so firm on the inside of you that you can even help someone else see that very same thing. Amen? The second part is we want to try and figure things out. We want to try and calculate by our own understanding how this is going to work. Okay, God, I have this plan. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy this car, and I can pull like this much from here and like this much from here, and I could probably squeeze just like this. But what I need you to do is if you'll just provide me with this much, then we can have all of this together and all the pie pieces will be together and woo, we're moving on to a new vehicle. So I have an idea. Lord, I'll go, and I will fast for 16 days. 16. I'm going to fast for 16 days. And at that 16th day, you're going to fall on me like a holy ball of fire and everything is going to clear out. Well, that's great if he told you to do that. But if you're telling him, hey, you're going to do this for me, things are operating backwards. We're operating out of our own understanding and then telling God, hey, you're going to do this. Now, there's things in the word he says he'll do for you. He said, I paid for your healing. I paid for your prosperity. Though he didn't necessarily say it's going to come this way. Sometimes we limit God because we're trying to use our own understanding to figure out what he's going to do for us. I think it was Brother Copeland said, I have a million ways to bless you and you can't think of two. We got to expand ourselves a little bit more. Work with yourself in that. Amen? So we want to survey the land and tell others what it looks like in our sight, not God's. And this is what I want to get to. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. Oh, there it is. Don't mind me. Numbers chapter 13. I encourage you to go and just now is the time to keep reading this. Keep reading this story. I'm going to jump through it a little bit. I'm not going to read it all to you, but I am going to pick through some of it. And so we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses. Who spoke to Moses? The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So if the Lord said it, there's enough power in it to bring it to pass. If the Lord said it, there's enough power in it to bring it to pass. He doesn't need your understanding. He doesn't need you to figure it out. There's enough power in it to bring it to pass. He does need you to obey what he tells you to do in response to that. But he doesn't need you to figure it out for him. One other little side note I want to point out here is it says that they sent leaders into this land. He who hath an ear, let him hear. Those who are following you are hearing what you're saying and making decisions based on your report. These aren't people who were just picked out by random. These were considered leaders in their community. They were considered leaders in their tribes. So their voice had even a greater influence than maybe just a bystander. Okay. So now it tells us all of the names of the people, and while I'm sure you'd find great humor in me reading all of those to you, I'm going to skip that and go to verse 17. It says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or not, be of good courage. Say, be of good courage. And bring some of the fruit of the land. So they have two instructions. Be of good courage, bring the fruit. That be of good courage is actually the same exact reference as what it references this, not this specific time, but that's the exact same wording as it says in Joshua 1. The instruction never changed. Be of good courage. That means be strengthened and be encouraged by the word that God gave to you. Why? Because there's power in that word to bring itself to pass. He gave you an instruction and he has the power in it. In the same way that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Why did David encourage himself in the Lord? Because he understood the covenant and he understood the word that that God had spoken to him. Amen. All right. So let's keep tracking along here and we're going to go to verse 23. And I just want to read this to you so you can see what they're working with here. They took care of one of the instructions. It says, then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. Someone say, that's some really big fruit. Yeah. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. So they bring back the fruit, and they can see by the fruit that they brought back that it's huge. So Moses told them, do two things. Be of good courage and bring back the fruit. Well, when you're coming back with this kind of abundant fruit, don't you think you would be encouraged that this land belongs to you? God said we get to have this land. The fruit is humongous. And he said we get to have it. It's going to be a good day. Amen? So then we get to hear the report of the 10. We all know that there's 10 and 2, right? Then they told and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. And then they put their butt in there. You know, if you put butt in there, just wipe out the first half. The stinkiness of your butt has wasted away everything you just said before that. It doesn't matter how big the fruit is because you aren't standing in belief. It says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The ites were all there. And so they got so stuck on all these ites that they forgot about the abundant fruit that already belonged to them because God said it. But then Caleb said to them, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." They then come back and say, "But we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Or we look like grasshoppers in our own sight," it says, "and so we must in their sight." Which we know is not true, because if you read Joshua, Rahab tells them that they were fearful of the children of Israel. This is very important for you. Your perception of yourself, your perception of where you're at, your perception of the victory you have is the way other people will receive you. Your perception of the truths about you is how other people will receive you. People find confidence attractive. Why? Because they are confident in who they are and what they're doing. And so they aren't attracting they aren't attracting bad attitudes. They aren't attracting rejection. They aren't attracting hatefulness. They aren't attracting gossip. They're not attracting all those things because they are confident and walking in what they're called to be. So I'm going to read one more report to you, and then we'll be done with all the reports. But I really like this one. So Joshua says in 7, my apologies. The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. I'm agreeing with what the Lord said. If the Lord delights in us, which he does, because he said, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against what the Lord said, right? Do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Joshua knew something about God. He trusted the word they had given. He trusted that what the Lord said was true. You see, remember in Exodus 33 when Moses went into that tabernacle and then he came out and the Lord said, "I will let my goodness pass before you." You know who else was in that tabernacle? Joshua was in that tabernacle. And when Moses left, Joshua stayed in that tabernacle. And Joshua stayed there in order to hear the word of God. He stayed there to be in the presence of God. He stayed there to build a relationship with God. He knew there is something about this, and I'm not backing away from it. I'm not backing down. I want to hear everything you have to say because I recognize who you are, and I recognize who you've called me to be. And so I'm going to stand in your presence and exchange all this junk that I've built up about myself and hear what you have to say about me while I linger in your presence. Amen. I believe that when Joshua created that relationship right there, when he took that time to be with God, that's when the nomination happened that he would be the one to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. God knows. God knows what's happening, and he saw in that man that he was committed to be with him. You see, it's one thing to just do what God says, but it's another thing when you are committed to be with him. Not just do, but to be with him, to be in his presence, to understand and hear his heart for you and who he's called you to be. Amen? We said before, trust happens by an exchanging of truth, right? So trust occurs when spending time because authenticity can be detected. The Lord woke me up at 4:00 this morning to tell you that. I was like, Jordan said, "What were you doing?" I said, "The Lord was speaking. I had to go write it down before I forgot." Glory to God. Authenticity can be detected. You see, when you spend time with someone, you know when a counterfeit's coming. I worked in the banking industry for about 10 years and touched money every single day. And the moment you ran your finger across a fraudulent bill, you knew it. Felt different. There were several things that you can do to check every single one, but all you had to do after time was touch it and you knew, this ain't it. This is fake. The people who most get caught taking in fraudulent money, new people. They haven't spent time finding out. They haven't spent time finding out the truth. They haven't spent time finding out that if you run your fingernail down their shirt, there's actually ridges there. And then you know if it's flat, it's fraudulent. That there's a strip in the bill that you can see through. That there's another face that's in the bill that you can see that will tell you it's fraudulent if it's not there. You see, when people do fraudulent money, they're getting way better at it. I'll say that. But they used to just try to print it on paper. Well, it feels different. So when you spend time, you can detect that a counterfeit's there. You see, this is why people, you want to know why people think that trouble is the teacher of the church? Because the only time they choose to spend time with God is when they're in trouble. Pain will absolutely lead you to passion. Pain will absolutely lead you to a place where you're desperate for God and you just want to see a move in your life. There's no question about it. But you don't have to do that. You can be passionate about God every single day. You can spend time with God every single day. You can be like Joshua and linger in his presence and find out who you are, whose you are, and what he has for you. So, if you have any question, I do not believe that trouble is the teacher of the church. You see, when you have no relationship, when things get shaky, when trouble comes, especially when you think that God's the one doing it, you want to immediately run back to bondage. I'll speak out of it personally. I've had those thoughts come. You're not the only person, but you need to recognize, okay, this means I need to spend time with God. This means my trust is slipping somewhere and I need to go spend time with God. Because that's what these children wanted to do. The children of Israel wanted to do. They said, so those are some pretty big giants. Why don't we just go back and be slaves in Egypt? Sounds good. They'll just beat us. We'll work all day, but at least they'll tell us what to do and we don't have to, just trust. Instead, we can just be told what to do. Sorry, I didn't mean to meddle there, but moving along. When trust has been broken, especially when you feel like that between you and God, it is because you have shut yourself off to him. You took that area where it hurt, because let's face it, we're in a fallen world. And when we hear and we hear what God has for us, and we can avoid a lot of trouble, but sometimes things come your way. Sometimes someone else will miss it and it hurts you. So if we allow that hurt to determine our heart towards God, trust begins to lessen. Because we've allowed a blockage where that openness of exchanging truth with God has been shut off and we haven't fully given our heart to him. Amen? So, when you are, I feel like my pages is flipped. When you are only hearing someone else's revelation, your heart isn't hoping to hear from him. But you're only hearing someone else's revelation, then you're unable to get full. Pastor says to us, you can't live off the memory of a baked potato, right? That's true. But you also can't get full when someone else eats a baked potato. When they feed you the word, it's your job to go to God with that word. You need to hear the word, but you need to not shut off conversation with God. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to hear what they say. I'm going to do what they do. Because you just become mocking. You just become rehearsing what they're saying. There's nothing there. It's like going to war with a weapon and no ammunition. I got what I know I'm supposed to use. I just don't have any power to fire it. Because the relationship that you have with God, that's what makes you fire the word. That's what adds the power to it. There's promises in here. This is good. But if there's no relationship of you and this word, then you just become dry. You can't make trust happen. You have to build a relationship. This is what Pastor was talking about on Wednesday night. We must know him. Right? We must know who he is. I think I did flip something around here, and that's all right. Praise the Lord. And so we must know that he created us for this very purpose. He created us to know who he is, and he created us to be in relationship with him. It says that God so loved the world, he gave his only son that we would have eternal life, right? The Bible tells us eternal life is to know and experience the Father and to know and experience the Son. To know and experience. That means that your relationship isn't just to know about him, it's to personally have an intimate relationship with him and that you would experience everything that he has for you. There can't be without operation with God, but that only happens when you begin to trust him and walk in everything he's called you to do. Amen? The deeper the relationship, the greater the trust. The greater the trust, the deeper the relationship. The deeper the relationship, the greater the trust. And it goes back and forth. We see this with Moses and with Abraham. Look at the conversations they had with God. Those are not conversations you have when there isn't a personal relationship there. Moses told God about a chapter later, he said, so what you're saying, God, is that you're going to kill all of these people, and then people will say about you, you couldn't get them in the promised land, and so you killed them all. Are you willing to say that to God? Have you got to that level of relationship? I mean, I think that there's some depth there when you're saying that to someone. When you're willing to tell someone something that could possibly rub a little bit, but they know they love you, you're willing to do it. Because you're looking out for the best in one another because trust is there. You see, I know God trusted Moses because they had that conversation. I know God trusted Abraham because he had the conversation about Sodom and Gomorrah. They went in depth in their conversation. It wasn't just a one-way street. They were communicating with one another. Amen? So this is what sets us apart. This is what keeps us from going back to what we have, what we have always done, and staying with what God has told us to do. If you have a real, trusting relationship with God, people will want it. Amen? I believe that this relationship is only granted access by trust. This type of relationship is only received by trust. You don't just go tell all of your business to everybody. We were listening to Andre Bronkhorst. Do y'all remember him? He was here in May. He was talking and he said, if you just come up to me and say, hey, what does it take to be a prophet? I might give you something, but I'm not going to share my stories with you. I don't know you. What would you do with them? I don't know where you're going to take them. I don't know what. But when that level of sonship is given, when that level of trust is given, I'll tell you everything about my life. I'll tell you everything you've ever wanted to know. Why? Because relationship is there. Amen? So I believe that that's one of the things trust gets you. The second thing I believe that trust opens the door for you is real wisdom. Deeper relationships, real wisdom. We see this so clearly with the children of Israel. Proverbs says in 3:19, wisdom has the blueprint for your life's foundation. Wisdom has the blueprint for life's foundation. God said when he created the earth that wisdom made the plan, God created it. Wisdom is available for the plan for your life. The blueprint has already been written. There's already a book about you in heaven. It already has the details of what you need to know to bring your life to pass. Amen? And don't get mistaken. Wisdom and understanding are not the same thing. Wisdom is your ability to take the truth that God shares with you and know how to use it. Joshua, they told him, go spy out the land. Not one of those 12 came back with lies. They all came back with their perception. So what was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10? Caleb and Joshua trusted the word. And they trusted his word to be true. 10 of them came back with what they thought was wisdom. But all they really had was fear. When you operate cautiously, your friends may call you wise, but you will not move many mountains. You'll walk through life just skating by. I'm going to make it. Life will be mediocre. But you aren't going to see the increase that God has for your life. You're not going to see everything God has available for you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're just crazy risk takers and we just run, do things out of the wild. No, we have a relationship with God and we trust him and we do what he says. And by that, we are the risk takers. By that, we are the ones that step into the increase. By that, we are the ones who step into everything God has for us. Amen. Wisdom that contains fear lacks trust. So how do you know if your wisdom contains fear? It's really easy. Look at how many words you're saying to convince yourself. When they came back with the report, the 10 had 81 words. Let me fact check. 80 words they had to say, this is what the land said. You know how many Caleb had? 17. 17 words. Why? Because he trusted what God said. How many times do you hear on the radio, come on down to the Ferrari dealership, I'll get you a deal of the lifetime. You come in, we'll trade for thousands more than your car's worth. We'll give you every penny plus 100,000 more. No, you don't. Because Ferrari is authentic. Ferrari is the real deal. When you go into Macy's and you go into Dillard's, this is a new level for me, I'm learning. They don't have discounts. You go to Kohl's. I shouldn't name drop. You go to department stores. They have a sale every day. Every day. You're saving money every day. Whether you're actually saving money every day or not, I don't know. But they sure make you feel like you're saving money every day. Why? Because they want to get you in the door. You don't have to discount when you have designer bags and designer shoes because it's reputable for itself. They don't have to use 100,000 persuasive words to get you to buy it. It's persuasive on its own. But doubt will speak to you. Persuasion will speak to you, and it goes around and around and around and around and around and around, and you hear it every single day, and then it comes back, and it goes around and around, and you hear it every single day, and it comes back. If there is no hope in what is being said, it ain't from God. Shut it down, shut it up, tell it to get out. Amen? If it is not authentic, it requires persuasion. Wisdom is the authentic word of God, and to operate in the authentic, you must trust him to step out in what he knows and you don't. Amen? I got all kinds of flipped around here. Praise the Lord. So, Number one, deeper relationships. Number two, wisdom. Number three thing that you gain access by trust is faith. I didn't say we weren't talking about faith. I just said that was my main topic. How can you stand up here and not talk about faith? Faith is the product of trust. Speaking comes after believing. I believe that there is, we all know this. I believe that confession is right, and I believe that you confess sometimes before you have the full belief in your heart. But I want you to know, if you want to put ammunition in your weapon, believing has to come first. It must. In Mark 9, this is, I'm not going to turn there, but I will, most of y'all will know the story. If not, go back and read it. Mark 9 is where there is a father whose son has seizures. And he says of this boy, they cast him into the fire, they cast him into the water. The disciples come, they laid their hands on this boy, right? Nothing could be done. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes. I believe this man trusted Jesus. I believe he honored the man of God, and it opened the door for him to trust him. Why do I believe that? Because this very man who had a child who was being harmed said, I don't care what's happened by any of these other disciples. I trust that you are able to do what needs to be done to heal my boy. He honored Jesus. Because honor doesn't take what someone else has done to you and expect it from God. Honor doesn't take what your father did for you, what your past relationship did for you, what any previous church did to you, what any man of God did to you, what any person did to you, and call it what God will do to you. It says, I trust you, I believe in you, and I honor you because of who you are and who you are to me. And that's what this man did. And he said, I believe you. I trust you. Now help any area where I still am lacking trust. He said, I trust you, but I want to trust you more. So how do we know if unbelief is present? How do we know if we need to up our level here? Romans 15:13 tells us two things. Joy and peace are present. If joy and peace aren't present in your life in a situation, trust is lacking. So what do you do? Well, I haven't been joyful in a long time, Danny. What do I do? Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Dutifully. Is that it? Okay, thank you. I'm not going to say it again. Spend time in the Word. Don't do it because you have to. Spend it because you're building relationship with him. The Lord told me probably a week straight to read Ephesians 1. I got through about verse 3 for like the first 4 days. Read Ephesians 1. I get to verse 3 and I'm like, oh Lord, this and this and this and this. And so the next day, read Ephesians 1. I'm like, okay. And then I got like maybe one more verse. Oh, verse 4. Oh, but this and this and this. And then I got to like verse 9. I was like, oh, this and this. And then I got to verse 3 again. He doesn't care how much you read. He wants you to spend time with you. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to give you the ammunition to fight anything that you're standing against. Amen? All right, I need to start. I apologize. I guess I had a lot to say today. Glory to God. We fix this by exchanging truth with the Father. Take where we are struggling and put in what he is saying. Stop making it mechanical and make relationship. You see, trust has no plan B. Joshua and Caleb took the word, and that's how it was going to be. We need to be these people. We need to be the risk takers. We need to be the ones who take on the giants. We need to be those who think the giants are bread. We need to take what the Lord says, and we need to respond quickly. I'm going to steal this Pastor Nancy story because I really like it because it's about donuts. She said, you know, She said, when you go to Krispy Kreme and the light is on that they're hot, when you pick apart that donut and stick it in your mouth, it melts like a piece of butter. It is so easy to eat. It just goes right down. It's so easy to get in. Hey, baby, you buy me some donuts after this. It's so easy to swallow. But has anyone here tried to eat a three-day-old donut? Yeah, sure have. Guilty. It don't go down quite as easy. It's a little cold, it's a little hard, a little chewy, and it might go down, but it takes a lot longer. When God tells you to do something, if you do it immediately, if you look at that giant and say, you're my bread, we're taking care of this right now, it goes down real easy. But when you wait and you try to negotiate with yourself, you try to move through your own understanding, you try to figure it out on your own, it's like a three-day-old donut that you're trying to swallow down, and then you need like umpteen gallons of water just to get that thing down. Just go ahead and look at the thing and say, God said it, I'm doing it, let's move ahead. Amen? Glory to God. We need to be the ones that destroy the works of the enemy. The word says all things are possible to him that believe. All things. We need to stop looking at what is in the natural and set our hearts on what God has made available for us. Look at the big fruit he has shown to us. Take those giants as bread. Take the land and enjoy the milk and honey. Amen? I want to close with this. I want to say one thing to you. This is what Joshua said to the children of Israel. I changed it out a little bit for you. The land we have been given to spy out is exceedingly good land. The Lord delights in us, Victory Church. He has brought us into the land of his dear son and has given it to us. A land that flows with milk, nutrients of fertility and honey. That is great longevity. Do not rebel against the Lord nor fear the giants, for they are our bread. The enemy has already been defeated and the Lord is with us. Take the land, Victory. Take the land. Thank you, Jesus.